Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Every team we play is going to be excited for the opportunity to come in here and knock us off. We got a target on our backs. We got to be ready.
Throws for Curry, who grabs it before it goes out of bounds. Splits traffic, takes a three. Oh, my goodness! Goes up, blocked again by Draymond. Out of bounds off Bazemore. Draymond did it again! 5 seconds to go. Curry with four. Curry with three. Takes a three for the win. He got it!
Here we go.
It's time for the Warriors Wrap-Up. Here are your hosts, Chris Townsend and Matt Steinmetz.
How many times have we said, if you're going to shoot something like 4 for 19 from 3, you got no chance of beating the Golden State Warriors. You got no chance of being in the game. You shoot 21.1% from the three-point line, you better hope and pray that the Golden State Warriors at home are going to have an off night, and the bottom line does not happen, 121 to 107, as the Golden State Warriors, they shoot 43.8%, really 44%, and it's ball game over. It's that simple. They don't have the firepower, the Minnesota Timberwolves, to be able to play with the Golden State Warriors.
No, and the Warriors finished 14 for 32 from three-point range, and at one point they were 14 for 24. So they missed their last eight shots. Those didn't really matter because the 14 they made were what allowed the Warriors to get a 20-point lead in the third quarter. Clay was terrific. Steph Curry hit back-to-back threes with about 4.5 minutes to go. That bumped it up to 19. And then the Warriors had another fourth quarter like they've had so many this year where they're up big and you're just wondering, are they going to have to come back with the starters or not? And tonight they didn't have to, and it was a nice win for the Warriors. 12 in a row, Townie. I think you could say they're peaking at the right time. And the playoffs, they can't get here soon enough.
I know. After that San Antonio game,
yep,
that unbelievable comeback down in San Antonio, I think we've all kind of been, you know, that was an awesome game. Let's get to the playoffs. The number is 888-957-9570. That's 888-957-9570. Klay Thompson tonight. I mean, you just know when he's feeling it, and you just, it's going to be a special night. And to get the 41 points, to get that layup there at the end, to get him from 39 to 41. But when he just has that stroke going, it's just, it's beautiful.
What's amazing is that the Warriors have two great three-point shooters. And Steph Curry is widely considered the best shooter in the game. Some people have called him the best shooter, outside shooter in NBA history, which is probably true. But on the same team, in the same backcourt, they have a player in Klay Thompson who actually can get hotter than Steph Curry for short stretches. Klay Thompson scored 37 in a quarter. Klay Thompson has scored 60 in 29 minutes. So when you put that backcourt together and they're both shooting the ball well and they both get off to good starts from three-point range, it just sets such a tone. And I think Steve Kerr made a reference to this in the postgame. When Curry and Klay make shots early, it changes everything because then the team that they're playing has to even be more aware to step out further on the floor to contest those shots. And when you step out further on the floor, it gives the court more space for all the other players to operate. And, Townie, we're only talking about 3 feet. You make a defensive player come out 3 more feet, that's a big difference when it comes to the spacing in your half court. And sometimes you watch the Golden State Warriors in games like these and you just think, how is somebody going to knock them off in the postseason? 4 out of 7 games. Kevin Durant coming back Saturday. It's all good right now for the Warriors.
888-957-9570. That's 888-957-9570. And I hope you realize, and don't take it for granted, that I understand there's been great shooters in the game, but nobody has shot it from three. Now, obviously, the game evolves and the game changes. There was a great piece in the Bay Area News Group today we'll get into a little bit later about triple-doubles, how, you know, it's Draymond Green about to set the franchise record, but if you really look at what Wilt, because Wilt didn't get credit for steals,
right,
mainly blocks where he averaged over 10 so many years. But you just start looking at it, and they have it at Warriors PR tonight. Klay Thompson, they have the top five most threes made in a season. Steph's 1, 2, 3. Klay's 4th. Steph 5th. I mean, the top five. It's all Warriors. And Steph right now, he's having an off year. I mean, Steph this year, you know, it's just then Klay this year. I mean,
can I tell you a pet peeve of mine?
They're going to own the top 10. Every spot.
Oh,
in the
my
top
goodness.
10.
When assuming Klay and Steph don't get hurt,
yeah,
they're going to have the top 20 because they're going to be in the top 3 or 4 in the next 5 years.
This is the second greatest year in three-point shooting history for Steph Curry. He's number one, obviously, last year. He made 402. Now, this was 46 minutes ago. I think he hit one or two after this. But when this came out 46 minutes ago, that's 305. Struggling this year with the second greatest three-point shots made in the history of basketball.
Well, let me get to my pet peeve, because I'm seeing a lot of, you know, Steph Curry was the player of the week this past week, and a lot of people are saying, look at Steph Curry. How does everybody feel now? Are the people saying he's having a bad year, a down year, an off year? Who said that? Nobody said that. The only thing that's ever been said was Curry's not having the kind of year he had last year. And last year he had a career year. He may never hit 400 threes in a season again. Nobody said he's having a bad year this year. All anybody said is he isn't matching the numbers from last year. But you know what? He may never match those numbers from last year. If you watch Steph Curry play from day one until today, you know that he's having a solid year. You know that the first couple months of the season, maybe his numbers weren't that great, but it was because Durant had arrived, and Curry's trying to do the right thing and get him assimilated and get him adjusted. That's exactly what a point guard is supposed to do. If his own numbers fall during that period, so be it. That's not for a point guard to worry about, his own numbers. Then, around Christmas, we saw Curry start to turn the corner, become more aggressive, start making more shots, scoring more points, being aggressive. Then we saw Kevin Durant get hurt. Now he's taking it to the next level. Nobody said Curry was having a bad year. Anybody who said Curry's having a bad year, I mean, they're nuts. They're absolutely nuts.
Would you say it's like when Ted Williams, back in 1941, hit 406? The last guy to hit 406. The very next year, 1942, he hit 356. Is that having a bad year after
exactly.
hitting 406?
Exactly. Exactly my
Just
point.
Just an example. The number is 888-957-9570. They whoop the Minnesota Timberwolves. It was a fun game to watch here tonight, 121-107. We're taking your phone calls any way you want to go. You want to talk about Klay. You want to talk about Kevin Durant right down the corner. We got a couple guys resting tomorrow in the Valley of the Sun. Warriors wrap up right here on 95.7 The Game. We're taking your phone calls.
You know what time it is.
Give me the green light. Oh, yeah. Cause I'm ready to go. Let's have a good time.
Let's go.
What you waiting for? You only got one life.
One life.
And we gon' live it up. So give me the green light.
Give it to me.
Cause I'm ready to go.
To Wiggins. Stolen away by Curry as he drove into a crowd. Curry on the break. Bounce pass behind the back to Andre. Goes up and scores on the reverse.
Come on now. You can't make this stuff up.
Curry.
Steph is just laughing. And again, the defense. That last time Andrew Wiggins drove, there was three defenders around him when he drove, and they forced another turnover.
Now back to Towney and Steiny on 95.7 The Game.
I wish the A's had the green light tonight, but didn't work out for them in the ninth inning across the way. I got
to
tell you a story
Give a little bit later. Okay.
About the guy who runs the Angels was asking me about the Warriors tonight before I came over here.
Okay.
Think about that. An executive who runs another professional franchise is asking me questions about the Warriors. I mean, that's how big they are.
Yeah.
888-957-9570 from the fans is brought to you by Nations Giant Hamburgers. Keep it real. Make it Nations. Let's go to David in San Jose. Lead us off tonight here on Warriors Wrap-Up.
Hey, I just wanted to cover a couple topics real quick. I love you guys' show. Just wanted to talk about Curry real quick. You know, he's a demon. And when I say that, I mean there's nothing that's going to stop him when he's on. And we know that. And I love the way we're going into the playoffs. This is just amazing. When I was in Reno this past weekend, I'm from San Jose. I was in Reno. And, you know, I like to gamble and I like to have some fun. But the Warriors, they had their worst week while I was down there. And I was like, damn. Then they sat the guys in San Antonio. And I go, oh, my goodness. I go, I never seen nothing like this. I come back, and they just, look at this. Look at this. This is the luxury that we have right now. Dude, they're just going off. They're going dumb. I'm a Raider fan, too. I don't want to touch that topic as much as I want to talk about this Warriors topic. But I just love what you guys do. I just wanted to give my little opinion on what I think is best for the Warriors right now, and it's just momentum. You know, bring Durant back when you want to. We're gonna get there. We're gonna win it. A lot of the people who I used to talk basketball with, they don't even want to talk basketball no more. They're scared. You know, Houston Rockets fans. They're Houston Rockets fans. They're San Antonio Spurs fans. You know, they're New Orleans Pelicans, and they're also Heats, and they're, you know, also Cavaliers fans. And I didn't want to talk too much about that because, you know, what's important to us right now is the Western Conference. And you know, I just love what's going on right now.
Thank you, David. Thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it. Yeah, the Cavs got a big game against the Boston Celtics coming up here.
It's not a big game.
Is it tomorrow?
Did you hear what LeBron said?
There's no, what?
Well, somebody said, hey, you got a big game against the Celtics. It's going to determine this and that. And he said, I've been to 6 straight NBA finals, meaning don't talk to me about a regular season game.
Well, if anybody could do it, it would be him.
That is true. I'll tell you what, he's going to have his work cut out for him to get the number 7, though, because Cleveland's not playing well, and they're going to need to turn it on. And you know the old adage that sometimes you can't turn it on when you want to turn it on, but we're going to see if they can because they have not been playing well the last 5 or 6 weeks.
And nobody does it every year. He's been getting there every single year, but at some point it will end. Will this be the first year that, I mean, it is one incredible run. I mean, to get to the finals as much as he has, and I know the criticism is, well, he plays in the East. I don't care where you play.
Right.
To get to any type of championship, Stanley Cup Final, NBA Finals, World Series, obviously that's not going to happen with the Super Bowl, but, I mean, and team sports, but to still be the main guy in that sport and get there every year, pretty phenomenal. 888-957-9570, so much to get into. We'll get into all your phone calls. John Dickinson is going to join us from the locker room. I still got to give you that story about the GM from the Angels. Just shows you the great interest in this team. The number is 888-957-9570. We continue with your phone calls right here, Warriors Wrap-Up, on the home of the Golden State Warriors. That's 95.7 The Game.
I'm Steph Curry in the clutch. Take a shot at this royal elite and go all the way up.
Curry off a three by Zaza. Curry straightens, fires, 3. Good straight away for Curry.
Screen from Zaza. Got Steph open. He actually had the open shot coming off, and he waited till Rubio recovered and still knocked it down.
91-75. Rubio waits for Wiggins, crossover dribble left side, fades and fires, is up for the back rim, miss. Ball deflected by Jay, batted forward by Curry to the front court, catches it, fires it, and hits a 3. Absolutely ridiculous.
His swag is on a billion. Taps it to himself and just in rhythm walks into a 3. Wetter.
Some nights he does stuff, and all you could do is just shake your head. 94-75 Warriors.
Now back to Towney and Steiny on 95.7 The Game.
The number's 888-957-9570. Can't wait for JD to come up here. So Steph Curry on Klay Thompson. You can see this on at 95.7 The Game on Twitter. Steph Curry on Klay Thompson saying the sunnier weather in March has helped him play better recently.
Steph said that about Klay?
Yeah.
I could see that.
Hey.
L.A. kid.
He was out at the opening day yesterday.
Yeah, he was. I saw that. You know, Klay and I are a lot alike. When the sun comes out, we make shots. It's that simple. I shoot better in the summertime. And this is summertime if you're from back east like I am. This counts as summer.
It's not spring?
No.
You probably are so soft now. When's the last time you did a winter in the east?
I wouldn't.
But when's the last time?
1988. 1988, I did an East Coast winter. And it's all over.
It's changed, hasn't it?
It's awful.
Hey, do you miss being a beat writer? Because it's one thing, and that's the thing that, you know, I always joke going, my God, stop bitching about the way you travel. You travel in total luxury.
Right.
Beat writers don't.
No.
And you're traveling through the horrible winters through the airports. I mean, people don't realize the writers, whether we're talking NBA or NHL, it's not easy.
No, it's not. But it's a great job. And if you love sports, you realize how great it is. And for every game that, let's say you're a Minnesota beat writer tonight, so you're going to be here in the Bay Area writing your story till after midnight. And I don't know what Minnesota's schedule is tomorrow, but I'm sure their beat writers will have to get up very early. There'll be a short night's sleep, and that's a pain. But for every night like that, you have a night where you're in another city and you're off. And you get your work done at a reasonable hour, and you have a nice night, long afternoon and a night in another city. And then you don't have to get up real early the next day because it's a game day. And so you can enjoy yourself on those days. So you get really short nights, and then you get to sleep in once in a while when you're in a city and you have an off night.
Let's go to Antonio in Oakland. Welcome to Warriors Wrap-Up.
Hey, guys. Yeah, it's another great win by the Warriors. Like always, 13 in a row, lucky 13. You know, I think it's easy to say, you know, the reason why they're back. The Splash Brothers have been back to being the Splash Brothers. You know, Iguodala looked like 2015 World Championship Iguodala. David West, you know, some of the games, he looked like the Indiana David West, you know, with the nice finger roll and the medium-range jump shot. He's blocking shots. You know, but I think the most underrated part about this winning streak is Draymond not getting technicals.
Like, you're right, that's underrated.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yeah, I think that's probably the most underrated thing about this whole winning streak. You know, I think he has zero or one of the two. But, yeah, he's been, you know, I think he better get Defensive Player of the Year. I know that. That guy's amazing. He does it all. Point forward, Defensive Player of the Year, Iguodala. Got to be Sixth Man of the Year. You know, Curry better get at least top five MVP recognition.
All right, let me respond to each one of those. Draymond Green, I believe, should win Defensive Player of the Year. I do. I think it's going to be among him, Kawhi Leonard, and Rudy Gobert. But I think Draymond Green is going to win. Sixth Man of the Year, I don't think Iguodala is going to win it because he was pretty average the first half of the season. Now, if people really pay attention to what happened the second part of the season, maybe. But sixth man of the year, a lot of voters look at the numbers. And the one thing about Iguodala is while he's really valuable as a sixth man, his numbers aren't off the charts. We see him day in and day out. We see how he helps with intangibles. He's a good defender, good passer. But he doesn't put up big numbers that are going to kind of overwhelm the voters. So I don't think Iguodala is going to get the sixth man award, nor do I think Curry is going to be in the top five in the MVP race. I think it's going to be Westbrook, Harden, or Harden, Westbrook. So those are two. I think Kawhi Leonard will be three. I think LeBron James will be four. And then I think they're going to go with a John Wall or an Isaiah Thomas as the fifth player. No slight against Curry, but I think the perception is that he didn't play very well at the beginning of the year and that he's picking it up here late. Like I said, I don't necessarily agree with that. I thought he had a real solid first part of the year as a point guard, but I don't think a lot of other media people view it quite like that.
Let's head to Lee in Santa Clara. Welcome to Warriors Wrap Up.
Good evening, gentlemen. Yeah,
what's up, Lee?
Hey, all the talk about Curry, you know, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Curry's had 17 shots beyond half court this year, you know, just even it at the end of a quarter. If you take those away from his stats, he's shooting 41.2% from three this year. And I actually think the scenario you just described on the MVP voting, Sonny, that could happen. And if it does, I bet you Curry has the best finals of his career this year. He's a guy that really will kind of hold a grudge. And, you know, he doesn't say anything about it, but you can tell when he's trying to make a point. And in these last 11 games, he's played brilliantly. I mean, the guy hasn't played in a fourth quarter basically in 3 years. Can you imagine if he was the volume shooter that, you know, Harden or Westbrook was, if he was out there playing, you know, 38 minutes a game? The stats would just be ridiculous.
Well, so I really, you know what though? Yeah, I mean they would. I'm not gonna say they wouldn't. But would you take exception if I said that he can't play like Harden and Westbrook? Those guys are different kinds of players. A lot of their game is I'm not saying Steph Curry wouldn't get his numbers. He would, but he wouldn't go about it the same way as those guys. Those guys penetrate more than him, and they try to attack more than him. Now, if he were the number one option on a team that was just average, I guarantee he'd be more aggressive, but I think mostly his three-point attempts would come up. I don't know if he could survive going to the basket 15, 20, 25 times a game like those guys do, knowing you're going to get hit a lot in there.
Yeah, I don't think he would change his game, which is what it would be if he was driving into the hoop all the time. I don't think he would do that. I mean, Harden and Westbrook have their style, so I don't think Curry would change, you know, the kind of player he is. He would just be taking a lot more shots.
Yes,
I mean,
no
like
doubt.
If you take a look at what Kawhi Leonard has done this year versus what Draymond has just dwarfed him in every number, every stat, except Leonard's taking like six or seven shots more every game than Draymond did, so he's scoring some more points.
Right.
But this Warriors team, as we all know, my God, they've got so many weapons. It's almost unfair. And if they're healthy and they're playing like they are now, there's no way anybody's going to beat them. I mean, it's just, forget it. This is without Durant. So I'm really, really wanting the playoffs to get started now because this is kind of the peak. I think we all feel it. Like, this is the peak of this Warriors team this season. And these past, you know, this past winning streak right now, and in these past few games in particular, like, this is it. This is the bet. We got to bottle it, and nobody gets hurt, and start the playoffs now.
Yeah. I mean, that's the key now. Nobody gets hurt. Roll into the playoffs at full strength, and take your chances. And I got to believe the Warriors are going to go in, obviously, as the prohibitive favorites. And the only thing really left now, Townie, is to see how Kevin Durant looks Saturday, Monday, Wednesday.
888-957-9570. That's 888-957-9570. That takes me to, what's the difference now versus the way they're ending last year? We'll talk about that and your phone calls. Warriors wrap up right here on 95.7 The Game after the Warriors roll the Timberwolves 121-107 on 95.7 The Game.
.9 to go in the half. Curry takes it down the right sideline, cross the midcourt with 5 seconds. Finds Klay Thompson. Left side three. Good again. Klay Thompson buried it. What a look by Curry. 2.9 left. Warriors up 8.
Now back to Towney and Steiny on 95.7 The Game.
Interesting question. How many shots does it take for Klay Thompson to get hot? Steph Curry was asked that. Here's the answer.
Zero.
From the first.
Just as long as he's playing, this is a chance that it could happen at any moment. So, yeah, it's just kind of, you know, who he is. He's explosive and has that uncanny ability to kind of create something out of nothing. Doesn't need that much room, obviously, and he can have a night like tonight.
From the moment he walks into the building, ready to rock.
Yeah. Yep. He is one of these gifted players. Doesn't really need to warm up. Here's the other thing about Clay I love is he's the kind of player who would go play pickup basketball and be the first guy to the pickup game and the last guy to leave. And a lot of players who are really good show up at a, you know, show up at the gym. They got to stretch and they got to find out who they're playing with. And sometimes they want to play and he just wants to play. He just wants to go out there and play. That's all he wants to do. It's his number one focus. It's what he enjoys doing most. And it shows. I mean, he loves the game and it's fun to watch him.
Let's go to Colette leaving the game here on 95.7 The Game. What's happening?
Going on, gentlemen. You know, it's a beautiful day when you get to go from having been at the Coliseum yesterday to watch a nice opening night victory with Ricky Henderson, you know, field being named, and then going over to the Oracle and watching, you know, the Warriors continue the show of reclamation after that stretch of losing to teams and then coming back and exercising those demons of, you know, futility that they had for that little stretch, you know, where they went 2-4 against the teams that beat them that they shouldn't have lost to. And Minnesota, I think, was the last one of the teams that were left that beat them during that stretch that they had a chance to be able to come back and redeem themselves against. And Steph has been special in every single one of these games where he's had an opportunity to kind of exercise those demons. You know, I think he had a pretty pedestrian first half. I think he only had like 6 or 7 points. Mm-hmm. And he gets that steal and gets that dunk. And I turned over to my seatmates and go, he's about to start. And that's exactly what happened. He went from the dunk to a little mid-range jumper, and then the show started. You know, three-point barrage, behind-the-back passes to Iguodala, and everything else. And, you know, the one thing that gets lost in that whole equation inside the arena is, as special as Steph was, Clay was special the entire way. And all of a sudden you look up and he's got 42 points, 41 to 42. And you're like, how the hell did Clay end up with so many points? And everyone's talking about Steph. And that's how special this team is, you know, Clay would be the primary and the most special player on the vast majority of teams. But he gets overshadowed by the greatness of, you know, Steph, and gets overshadowed by, you know, KD coming over here. And, you know, how special is that to have a Klay Thompson that can basically shine and not be seen as brightly as all the rest of them?
Yeah, and he doesn't care. In fact, I think he prefers it that way, to tell you the truth. He prefers to stay under the radar and let Draymond garner all the attention because of his emotion, and let Curry garner all the attention because of his flashiness and greatness, and Durant just for coming over. I think Clay loves the position he's in, and I think it's rare, because I think a lot of players, if they were as good as Clay Thompson, would want a little more. They would always want a little more than they're getting, and I think they would look at the situation as though, you know what, I do everything that Steph does, but he gets more credit and Draymond gets more attention. But Clay, I don't think he spends any time thinking about that.
I totally agree. And Steiny, I think, you know, one of the callers just brought up the fact about, you know, the how underrated the fact that Draymond's not getting the technicals, you know, has been over this time period. And I think a couple of nights ago, you and I talked about it when I said that, you know, the addition of Matt Barnes and David West, you know, being the bruisers and the intimidators to take some of that attention away from Draymond, and, you know, and Matt Barnes going in there and being the enforcer and getting the technicals and getting the flagrants has really allowed Draymond to become a much better player than he was, because he doesn't have to do all the antics and have to be the enforcer on that team. Because I think he thought that he had to do more because Bogut was no longer there to kind of share in that load. But now he's got someone with a nasty edge in David West, and someone with just as nasty an edge in Matt Barnes to be able to take some of that away. And you know what? This team, I still don't think that they've even hit that stride that they need to, because we're going to start seeing the reintegration of KD, you know, this Saturday. And, man, it's, I'd say by about midway through that first round, watch out.
Yeah.
I appreciate the phone call.
Yeah, thanks, Collette. Tough to disagree with you. Really tough to disagree with you. And that's the last thing to see, is how Kevin Durant fits back in. But I think it's going to be pretty effortless, to tell you the truth. The reason I say that, Townie, is because Durant's a smart player, smart person. He's been watching this team while he's been out for 5 weeks or so. And I think it's going to be a blessing in disguise that he has been able to watch this team without him. And now he's going to be able to come back. I don't think he'll be trying to do too much. I don't think he'll feel pressure, because he sees that not everything is predicated on whether he plays well or not. And I guarantee you, if you go back to his Oklahoma City days, he probably felt like, you know, if I don't play well, there's a good chance that we're not going to win the game. But here in Golden State, he doesn't have to feel that way. He feels like, if I play well, there's no doubt we're going to win the game. But if I struggle, we still have three other players who can pick up the slack and who can carry me a little bit. And I can't, you know, I know Russell Westbrook is a great, great player, but Durant's got more weapons here, and he's got more players he can rely on. And that's why I think he's probably going to fit back in seamlessly.
You know, so many times when we look at a guy where you're talking about superstar and who's going to be the face of the franchise and whether you feel like you're getting enough pub or you're getting enough respect, so much of that over the years will be about money, will be how much you're getting paid versus somebody else. And with Klay Thompson, and I was just looking up with RC, I mean, basically his deal is about $70 million.
Mm-hmm.
He's never going to have to worry about money ever again in his life. And if you want to be that guy and you want to be the face, you want to be a star, there's a lot that comes with that that you have to be prepared for. That for some guys, do you really want to have to be the go-to guy every single time after the game? Do you really – I mean, do you – there's a lot of things that go, if you really want to be the superstar, there's a lot that goes with it other
right.
than just playing basketball and collecting one extremely large check.
Yeah, you know, maybe I'm wrong because I don't follow these guys around the Bay Area when they're just hanging out. But I got to believe
Steph. It'd be a little creepy if you did.
Well, Steph Curry can't go anywhere. He walks down the street. Everybody knows who Steph Curry is. But I got to believe that Klay Thompson puts a hat on with a hoodie, and he just starts walking
around. He was at the
A's game
yesterday.
Yeah, and I'll bet, for the most part, he could watch the game in peace. And that's just kind of his nature, and I think that's the way he likes it. He doesn't – you know, he grew up – keep in mind, when he was growing up, he was around the Showtime Lakers.
Yeah.
So he saw all the attention that team received, his father included. And so he knew that part of the game, the media part. So it wasn't anything that he really needed to go seek out, the limelight, because he saw all the positives and negatives about it, and he grew up in it. It became second nature. So he's just not a big-time type guy. He'll never big-time you.
Yeah, he grew up around one of the true stars of professional sports, where Magic Johnson was more than just a basketball NBA star. Magic was the type of star that people who didn't even follow the NBA knew who Magic was. Magic was an icon.
Yes.
And you grow up around that, and you kind of say, I want to be great like Magic. I want to win championships like Magic. But do I want to have the kind of career the way Magic Johnson? And maybe Klay is like, yeah, I'm good.
Right.
I mean, but think about it. He's got a ring. He's got gold medal. I mean, he's got everything you'd ever want in this game.
Well, and I also wonder how much going to Washington State played into that, too, because when you're playing for Washington State, I mean, that's relatively an anonymous type of college. It's not a – I mean, yes, I know it's Division I and it's in the Pac-12, but it's not a Kentucky. It's not a North Carolina.
It's not even UCLA, Arizona.
Exactly. And so he was probably able to play his whole career at Washington State pretty much under the radar. And when the Warriors drafted him number 11, not a lot of people knew who he was. He wasn't highly acclaimed out of Washington State. I'm not saying people thought he wasn't going to make it, but it wasn't as though he was somebody that everybody was familiar with. They found out he was Michael Thompson's son and he could shoot the ball a little bit, and then he came onto the scene and he was kind of this mellow, soft-spoken guy, and the next thing you know, you realize that his game's pretty loud.
Yeah, and then his brother's not too bad either.
Right.
And for Clay, go Cougs. How about that little Washington State love? John Dickinson is going to be coming up from the locker room. What will we learn about this win? We're going to find out right here. Warriors wrap-up on 95.7 The Game.
Rubio to Wiggins. Wiggins. Stolen away by Curry as he drove into a crowd. Curry on the break. Bounce pass behind the back to Andre. Goes up and scores on the reverse.
Come on now. You can't make this stuff up.
Curry.
Steph is just laughing. And again, the defense. That last time Andrew Wiggins drove, there was three defenders around him when he drove, and they forced another turnover.
It was a three-on-one, and I knew Clay was hot, so I was looking for him. Andre was on the other side, and he was kind of running even with me, so it wasn't a lead pass situation or anything. It was a little late developing, but when I turned to go throw it to Clay, I saw a black jersey right there in between, so I had to kind of shuffle a little bit, and it was the fastest crossover you ever seen. Not a double dribble at all.
Now back to Towney and Steiny on 95.7 The Game.
And we heard from everybody tonight, especially Steve Kerr, brought to you by Oaks Card Club. Play it smart, play it Oaks. And John Dickinson is here from the locker room, from the floor, brought to you by Walnut Creek Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, where savings is simple, online at walnutcreekjeep.com. JD!
Yeah, they're getting it done in Walnut Creek.
They are getting it done in the creek. Nonetheless, I love the creek.
So do I.
I was there not too long ago having a good time in Walnut Creek downtown. Yeah. By the way, sun's out, so Klay Thompson's feeling good.
Absolutely. He says, you know, he's asked what's been going well these last few weeks, and he says, well, the weather's a lot better. The sun's out. He likes to get out and enjoy it. I know we were talking about that during the game a little bit tonight, how Klay Thompson likes to get out and enjoy it when the weather's nice. And after the game, it comes up. He goes for, 41 points tonight? And I thought it was funny because, Stephen Curry was asked, when do you kind of know, or how many shots does it take, to know if Klay Thompson can go off on a night like that? And he says, zero. Just that he's in the game. Just the fact that he's in
when
the building.
When he arrives in
the
arena.
Just the fact that he's in the building, he can go off like that. And Klay is to go back to the sunshine. I mean, he's such a funny personality, great personality. So different from the rest of the Warriors stars, whether it's Curry or Draymond Green, obviously extremely outspoken. Kevin Durant has got a little bit of an edge to him at times and a funny side. And Curry, who doesn't like Steph Curry and his personality? But Klay's funny. It's just steady and deadpan. And, he doesn't really enjoy speaking to the media. But on a night like tonight, he'll give you something like that that you're just not expecting.
Right. Well, I was talking earlier with Towney, and sometimes you just have to take stock. You look at the Warriors and Steph Curry and maybe the greatest shooter that's ever played in the NBA, long-distance shooter. Probably the best shooter in the game today, maybe the best in history. And then playing alongside of him is a shooter that, in his own right, is so great that he can actually get hotter than Steph Curry more quickly and score points faster than Steph Curry. And if you just stop and think about that for a second, it almost makes this team unbeatable when they're making shots.
I mean,
because they play defense too.
Yeah, and tonight was a night where the defense was up and down. I think
sure.
The Warriors maybe the last couple of games have been, once they got through that week Last week, I think a little bit in the Washington game, it started to slip a little bit on the defensive side. But to go back to Curry and Klay Thompson, he's got the NBA record for points in a quarter, and his career high, 60, is greater than Steph Curry's career high. So,
yep.
And we're talking about two-time MVP, a guy that is rising up the charts, I think, down the stretch of the season to be, maybe a top five or six kind of a guy in the MVP race. Certainly, you are garnering more attention than he was earlier in the year. But Klay Thompson, for an individual game or an individual stretch of a game, he can be just as mesmerizing if you're watching him.
No doubt.
And you think about this team, and you think about Klay, and just that demeanor is just with so many alpha dogs, you could say. It's nice to have a star player who's just Johnny Cool Breeze.
Yeah.
Because if you had too many guys the same, that puzzle may not fit.
Well, and isn't it funny when you go back town, when Kevin Durant signs and everybody gets asked, how's it going to work? Steph, are you going to have to, you're the two-time MVP. Are you going to have to give up some shots? Draymond, are you going to shoot less? Are you going to be less of a playmaker with the ball? And Klay Thompson, everything's fine. I'm not going to do anything.
I'm not changing S-bomb.
I'm not sacrificing bleep. Exactly. I'm not changing anything. And you look at the way this season has played out, he was exactly right. He gets the ball in position and he shoots it.
Right.
And if he's making shots, he could have a hell of a night like he did tonight. The one other thing that Steve Kerr pointed out is the defense. I mean, and that's, every time he has a game like that, we focus on just how explosive he is offensively. But I think for him to do what he does and still be a good defender, maybe not as much tonight. He's playing off the ball more, I thought tonight. But there's nights where he guards the best guard that the opposition has. And he's as a two-way player, I think he's probably underrated across the NBA because we're so focused on the fact that he can fill it up from deep.
JD, how are you feeling about the bench these days? I mean, they really do seem to be coming together. They seem to be establishing an identity. I know it's late in the year to do that, but I think they're doing it. I think David West has obviously found his role, and they found a way to use him. Iguodala has emerged again. There's been a lot of talk about whether their bench is a strength or a weakness. For me right now, it's a strength until it is a weakness again, if it is.
Yeah, and I think when you look at Durant coming back, I mean, that's only going to help. Sean Livingston is another guy that you didn't mention that I think he's played well these last couple of weeks, in the last couple of games. He's come on and playing different positions, and I think that's the one area where the Durant injury has helped the Warriors, been almost a blessing in disguise. They've been able to figure out roles and use some of the bench players a little bit differently, and it's helped them sort of re-engage. And now when Durant comes back and you get into the playoffs, I think a lot of these guys are going to have more confidence. And, Matt, we were having this discussion a little bit before the game. I think the Warriors having another player like Matt Barnes, just having him available, whether he's going to play a lot or not, having another veteran you can go to, because Durant's coming back and he's going to start. Well, Patrick McCaw was getting a lot of the starts. Patrick McCaw's probably not going to play much, but you still have Matt Barnes as another body that can play the three, play the four, just another swing man that can be in the fold that you don't have to play at all. You can not, but if you need to play somebody gets in foul trouble, you get an injury, he's a guy that's played in a lot of playoff games.
Well, the thing I like about Barnes, and we were talking about this a little bit before the game, he was on with Tim Roy after the game being interviewed, and Tim asked him about his mindset coming in, and Barnes said, the first thing I wanted to make sure of is that I didn't step on any toes. And I mean, that's huge. That's huge because he's probably going to go through stretches in the postseason where he might play 18 minutes one night and maybe four or five. And
I'll bet there's a game or two where he didn't play at all.
You might be right. You absolutely might be right. And I was telling JD that a 27-year-old Matt Barnes, that ain't going to sit well with
him. Not having that?
No, but a 37-year-old Matt Barnes who knows that this may be his last chance to win a title – he's fine with it, and I believe he's fine with it. I don't think he's just acting.
Well, and let's be honest. I mean, Matt Barnes is a guy. He's from Sacramento originally. He didn't want to sign with the Sacramento Kings. He didn't. He was a free agent. He's played on a lot of winning teams. He's a guy that he wanted to win a ring, and he really wanted to come back here and help the Warriors do it, given, you know, the affinity he has for the We Believe days and being on that team 10 years ago. So for him to have it work out where it doesn't work out in Sacramento, essentially because he was brought in as a mentor to DeMarcus Cousins, think about that for a second.
Good luck on that.
The Kings move on from DeMarcus Cousins, and that makes him available. They cut him. They said, hey, we're playing young guys. We don't need you, even though we're paying you for next season as well.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
And it was, yeah.
Oh, we got a 2-year deal?
Exactly. Ah. And that was another factor involved in you know, why did Matt Barnes sign with the Kings when he's a guy that hasn't won a ring and he's a veteran and he's played on a lot of winning teams? Well, the Kings gave him the two-year deal. They move on from Cousins. He moves on. And the Kevin Durant injury again. I mean, if Kevin Durant doesn't get hurt, who knows where Matt Barnes is? He wouldn't be on the Golden State Warriors, I don't think, because they would have signed Jose Calderon. And they did eventually sign Jose Calderon before Durant went down, and they decided we need a guy that can play the 3 and the 4. And Matt Barnes was right there available because Sacramento decided they were going to move on from Cousins and chip him off to New Orleans. When you look at the story of this whole season and the Warriors, if they go on to win a championship, I mean, that's a fascinating, you know, number of different things that had to go in a certain sequence to have it wind up where he ended up back here.
And some days off tomorrow, Matt, for game down in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Yeah, Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala both going to get nothing else from the postgame from Steve Kerr as far as no injuries or anybody playing too many minutes to where he was going to add anybody to that list.
By the way, they're not going, right?
No, they're going.
Are they going on the flight?
You know what? I would imagine so. But
hey,
you know what?
Yeah, I'm guessing. But
that wasn't clarified. That honestly wasn't clarified.
You want to give guys days off? Don't even put them on the plane. You want a real day off? Take the day off. Don't even get on the plane. Don't even go.
Maybe they want a day off in Phoenix.
Well, that might not be bad.
The sun's out, baby. Isn't it supposed to rain tomorrow here?
Well, Iguodala definitely could get 18 in tomorrow down in Phoenix.
No doubt. Plenty of places to do that.
Scottsdale.
Absolutely. Plenty of places to do that. So, yeah, Draymond and Andre Iguodala not going to play tomorrow. And, you know, the training staff and all the different things that they do to track fatigue and track how guys are feeling. You know, the trainers went to Steve Kerr about a week ago and said, you got to get this guy a day at some point. So I got the impression he didn't really want to do it last week with the level of competition the Warriors were playing. But this Phoenix game, second of a back-to-back, before Durant comes back. Because once Durant comes back, I think Kerr wants to play everybody that he possibly can with Durant, those last three home games. So tomorrow became the day that it made the most sense. And Iguodala, they've done that periodically with Iguodala all year long.
Well, one thing I'd like to see is 95.7 The Game use these monitors and trackers so they know when guys like you and me need a day off.
Well,
because then on a day like tomorrow, Townie, Don Collins could say, hey, Townie, you know, if we play you tonight, you might break down. So we're going to sub you out tonight. You get some rest. You come back for the next game.
My problem is on off days, I do more damage than I do when I actually have to work. So it's probably better that I work. Keep me on the leash.
True.
I think my wife would probably like that better. Tomorrow, speaking of having fun, we'll be at Pick 6 Sports Lounge in Pleasanton, as it is a road game. Come down and see us. Have the happy hour going.
Final road game of the
regular
season.
Final road game. You going to come down again, JD?
I might.
Come down. Let me buy you a beer. A little post-game show.
Let me tell you, the tracker's on me as far as, you know, needing a day. I'm at the point where I need a day.
Well, this is like a day off.
Maybe two.
To Pick 6 is like a day off.
What's the A schedule the rest of the week?
They're home tomorrow and Thursday. Day game on Thursday.
Day game on Thursday? That may be me.
Come on out to the ballpark?
Yes, I think it's possible. I love those weekday
Don Collins, that'll be a quick turnaround for me because I'll be leaving Pick 6 at 11 o'clock.
All right, yeah.
And then I got to turn around early morning on Thursday to be back back at the old ballpark. That might be – that's a quick turnaround.
You're a season.
I think I can make it happen. Yeah, hey, tomorrow night we'll have not only Warriors going at pick six, also have A's Giants going.
I heard there were five games on tonight. Giants, A's, Warriors, Sharks, Kings.
Correct.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. It was a bit busy night for the new NBC Bay Area.
Yeah, no question.
In California.
Yeah.
Incredible. All right, boys. We'll see you tomorrow down at Pleasanton Pick 6 Sports Lounge. We'll have the post-game show for you. Of course, Damon will have the pregame. Tomorrow's morning show packed with Warriors guests talking about this great win against the Timberwolves. Once again, 121-107. We'll see you tomorrow night in Pleasanton for a Warriors wrap-up on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.